Good morning. It's great to be with you all this morning. I confess I feel, from some odd reason, a heaviness, whether it's God's spirit or just conviction or whatever, but it's a weight that's glorious but humbling. So, glorious and humbling. So, we're going to take time to pray. If you have your scriptures, turn to Luke. We're in Luke 17. This morning, we'll be looking at verses 11 to 19. If you want to use one of the pew Bibles around you, it's page 876. And so as you're turning there, let me pray this morning. Father, Lord, we thank you for your Spirit who is powerful, who works in the lives of your people to apply the glorious benefits that Christ has achieved for us, that we are justified, that we are sanctified, that we are being sanctified and one day glorified in the way we think, the way we talk, the way we act, what we do with our minds and our body. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you that we can use our body and soul to exalt the triune God, that we are connected to the one who will hold us forever, the one who has set his love upon us before the foundation of the world, the one who would see us in our sin yet still love us and send Christ to die for us, the one who would send his Spirit to fill our hearts and our minds to be transformed and made new. And Lord, this morning we pray that you would teach us from your word. Lord, Jared reminded me of the one prayer request to pray for our denomination. And it's been around for 50 years now. And we thank you for the faithful teachers and preachers and elders and people within those churches who long to hold the scriptures that they are the authority of the word of God and that they desire to reach people with the good news of the gospel and to live by the truths that were brought to light during the time of the Reformation. We're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to God be the glory alone, based on the scriptures alone. Lord, we pray that you would help us as your people, whether it's this denomination or any gospel preaching church, to be faithful, for it is easy for sin to creep in, whether it's in our character or in our teaching. And so, Lord, we pray that you continue to preserve, to protect, that we, your people here and all over the world, that we would be that light and you would draw your people to yourself. Lord, as we take time to look into your word this morning, we pray that you would teach us as we look into this idea of what it means to have a thankful faith. Forgive us when we're not. And so, Lord, we pray you teach us this morning. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So if you have Luke, well, we'll look at Luke 17. We'll be in verses 11 to 19 this morning. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And he entered a village, and he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance. They lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Yes. When he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." This ends the reading of God's holy, inerrant word. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says this morning. Timothy Keller, pastor, professor, so much to the PCA, recently passed away on Friday. He said, "It's one thing to be grateful, it's another to give thanks. Gratitude is what you feel, but thanksgiving is what you do." Joni Erickson Tada, on this idea of giving thanks, she said, "Giving thanks is not a matter of feeling thankful, it's a matter of obedience." In your life, in your walk with Christ this morning, would you say your life is filled with words of thankfulness to Christ and to others, or is your life and words filled with grumblings and complaining? I know we have different seasons we walk through. There are times of lamenting, there's times of grief for sure. But in general, in your relationship with God, with Christ, do you find yourself using more words of thanksgiving or more words of grumbling? Tony Evans, he writes about a story. He says, there's a story of a little boy who wanted his mother to pay him for all the services he was rendering in the home. He left her a note. "For washing the dishes, you owe me $1. For cleaning my room, Mom, you owe me $1. For hanging up my clothes, Mom, you owe me $1. For mowing the lawn, you owe me $1. Mama, you owe me. Pay up." He printed her a bill totaling $4 and he gave it to her. The mother came out with $4. On a kitchen table with a note of her own. The note simply said, "For carrying you for 9 months and being sick as a dog, no charge." "For staying up with you all night after night when you were sick, no charge." "For working overtime that could get you those shoes, no charge." "For entertaining your friends, you wanted to bring them over without notice, no charge." "Signed, your mother, who loves you. Your total bill is zero." After reading the note, the young man realized he had lost sight of the goodness of his mother. He turned a loving relationship into a business deal. He said to his mother, what he said to his mother was a lot of what God's children say to him. "You owe me. Pay up." And it's the furthest thing from the truth. From earliest on in our lives, we have to learn to say it, don't we? We have to learn to say thank you, whether it's to God or to other people. There's something inside of us that resists just saying those words, thank you. Whether it's because we're shy or it's just because it's the realization that it's a humbling recognizing that you've been blessed by someone else, someone loved upon you, someone was gracious to you, someone showed you mercy, and to say those words, thank you, is to recognize how they blessed you. You were blessed by someone else, not based on your works, your efforts, and to recognize that is humbling, and it is good. For we are aligning ourselves properly in relationship to God and one another when we can be thankful. Being thankful is one of the two main sins. Being unthankful is one of the two main sins mentioned earliest on in when it comes to our relationship with God. In Romans 1, verse 19, it talks about what is known about God is plain to them, to us, because God has shown it to us. For his invisible attributes are seen in the things that he's made. We can look at creation and it screams divine power, divine majesty, that God did this and that we should honor him and that we should be thankful. But fallen humanity, that's far from that. Karina, would you get me a Kleenex, please? Thanks. I don't want to gross everybody out. J.C. Rao, he writes, the best of us are far too like the nine lepers in this story. We are more ready to pray to God than to praise God. We're more disposed to ask God for what we don't have rather than to thank him for what we have. So this morning, as we walk through the text this morning, would you say your life is filled more with words of thankfulness or words of grumblings? So how can we remember to be thankful? How can we remember to be thankful to Christ? First, we need to recognize our great need for mercy. Verse 11, on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifting up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's met by these 10 lepers who understood that they needed mercy. Leprosy was a skin disease, and if you had it, your life was dramatically turned upside down. If you thought you had it, you had to go show yourself to the priest, and he would determine if it was leprosy or not. And if it was, you would have to be quarantined. You'd have to be separated from your family, from your work, from worship. And with the hope, just hoping and praying that it would go away. John MacArthur adds in his commentary, leprosy attacks the skin, the peripheral nerves. It forms lesions on the skin. It can disfigure the face by collapsing the nose and causing folding of the skin. Contrary to popular belief, leprosy does not eat away the flesh, but due to the loss of feeling, especially in your hands and feet, people with the disease would wear away their extremities and their faces unknowingly. The horrible disfigurement would cause leprosy. It would made it greatly feared. They would be considered outcast to the world. These 10 men are dealing with this disease, and from Jesus' ministry of miracles in the area, causing the blind to see, making the mute speak, causing the lame to walk, word got around even to these men that Jesus can change things, that Jesus has the power to heal, to restore, and to redeem. And these men somehow would have heard these stories, and they would have hoped, and they would have prayed that this miracle worker would somehow come around their way. Perhaps each day these men would sit outside and would just watch out in the distance, watching for Jesus and his traveling group to be walking down the road, hoping to find mercy, hoping to find healing. You can imagine for them the longing to be home, the longing to hug their family, the longing to work again, the longing to be done with the disease would have been deep and profound. And one day in the distance they saw Jesus coming. They saw the ground being kicked up, and they knew it must be Jesus, and they yelled from a distance, because they were to stay away from others, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They would have been screaming. They knew he was different. They knew he was powerful, if he could do those miracles, and they cried out for mercy. They understood their need for mercy. Their physical ailment showed them how powerless they really were. It showed them how dependent they really were, that they needed someone to deliver them. They recognized their great need for mercy. And when we're unthankful, that's where we lose sight of our own great need for mercy. If myself or humanity got what was owed us, if we got what we deserved, I would have been in the lake of fire at my first breath for my rebellious, selfish, and fallen heart. Every second we live, every step we take, it's because of the mercy of God. Many will think they only need God's mercy when trials come, when death approaches, and that's one of the many reasons we're an unthankful and unhumble people. Why are we here this morning? The mercy of God. Why is your heart beating? Why are your lungs working? The mercy of God. Why did you have food to eat yesterday or food for breakfast this morning? The mercy of God. Your ability to work, the mercy of God. Why are you able to think, to plan, to reason, to build, to have relationships, to laugh, and to grow? Only the mercy of God. Nothing I deserve, nothing I merited. And it's the same with our salvation. It's the same with the forgiveness of sins. How can I stand before a holy God who requires perfection and righteousness? Only His mercy found in Christ Jesus. So if you're struggling with being more thankful to God, recognize how powerless you are in life. Recognize how dependent you are in life for everything. Just to be able to speak, to be able to eat, to be able to hear, to be able to touch, to be able to walk. And anything we do, it's only by the mercies of God. And thank Him for the new ones each morning. His mercies are new each day. Second, we need to remember to believe and to trust that Jesus is merciful. We need to believe and trust that He is merciful. In verse 14, it says, when Jesus saw them, He said to them, go, show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. When these men asked for mercy, Jesus didn't go over and touch them and lay hands on them. He didn't say, I will, you are healed. He just yelled back. He said, just go yourselves to the priest. They were the ones they had to go to because they were the ones that let them back into public life. He said, just go back and show them. These men were not healed yet. And probably when Jesus said that, they looked at each other and questioning, how can we go back to the priest looking like this? They weren't healed yet. They were still disfigured. They're still unclean. But Jesus said, go. Go show yourself. These men would need to believe in what Jesus said. They would need to trust in what Jesus said. They needed to believe and trust that He would be merciful to them and heal them, though they didn't see it yet. They needed to trust in His mercy when they couldn't see it. Learn to be thankful. Corrie ten Boom, I mentioned her last week in Ravensbrück, where it was known to be the worst German concentration camps in World War II. Corrie and her sister Betsy were found in prison there, and they were disgusted to discover that the barracks were infested with fleas. Corrie began to complain, and Betsy, her sister, said, give thanks, quoting Thessalonians 5:18, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And with some persuasion, Corrie finally joined her sister in thanking God even for the fleas. She writes, several months later, the two sisters expressed to their surprise that the camp, the guards had never came back to disrupt them because they were holding secret Bible studies during the time. The reason that the guards never came to check on them was because of the fleas. It was then that Corey realized that the very fleas which she had so despised had actually been God's sent protection from the cruel guards. Trusting Christ's mercy when we don't even see it. Just being obedient and giving thanks. To give him thanks and praise each day, even in the midst of hardships and tears, and remembering God is at work. Psalm 30, verse 4 says, Sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints. Give thanks to the holy name, for his anger is but a moment, but his favor is a lifetime. Weeping will tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning. When Jesus answers your prayer in a way you didn't expect or hope for, you can still trust his mercies. When the storms of life rage in your soul and in your body, you can still trust his mercies. We still wrestle with sin. We still wrestle with temptations, but I am forgiven in Christ. He will glorify me. One day this body will break down. This body will die, though he may heal me over and over again. I will die, but resurrection and life is still coming. I will trust his mercy. I will learn to give thanks in all situations, even for the fleas, even for the fleas. Trust him even when you don't see it. And lastly, we need to be overwhelmed by the graciousness and abundance of his mercy. Just to be overwhelmed. In verse 15, one of them saw that he was healed. He turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He fell at his feet, he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. He was a Samaritan. And Jesus said, "Where not there 10, where the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except the foreigner? And he said to him, "Rise. Go your way, your faith has made you well." Show yourself to the priest. They started walking. They took a step and another step. Fingers became whole. Toes became healed. The sores vanished from their bodies. Everything that Jesus said was true. He's powerful. He's merciful. You can be trusted. Show yourself to the priest. This one man was so overwhelmed by the gracious and abundance of Christ's mercy, he just began praising God with a loud voice, and he came back to the one who's greater than the priest. He came back to Jesus. He understood that if Jesus could do this. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the deliverer. He is the way, the truth, and life. He came back, bowed to Jesus' feet, and worshiped him. He understood that the one before him was standing there, was greater than any priest. Jesus, our great high priest, who would go to the cross for our leprosy, for our sins, for our disfigurement. The Samaritan, the enemy of the Jew, came back to this Jew, to this Messiah, to this Jesus, and he worshiped him. He understood that salvation was found in no other. He was doing what Psalm 30:11 says, "You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever." He was overwhelmed. Overwhelmed by the graciousness and the abundance of Christ's mercy. He was healed. He could go back home. He could hug his family. He could work again. He could worship again. And Jesus says, "Were not there 10? Where are the 9? And he says, "Rise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." And then the commentator says this is the idea of salvation. This man placed his faith and trust in Christ, and he was delivered. It wasn't his faith that saved him. It was the object of his faith. He found hope, mercy, forgiveness, healing in Christ. Have you been overwhelmed by the gracious abundance of mercy of Christ in your life? Or do you just see fleas? I struggle with that. Can you count your many blessings? Can you name them one by one? Can you count your many blessings and tell others what God has done? From Ephesians 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in wisdom and insight. Are you overwhelmed by the abundance of his mercy in your life? Count your many blessings. Count them one by one. How can we remember to be thankful for Christ? Remember our great need for mercy for every moment. Remember and believe and trust even when you don't see it. And just be overwhelmed by his goodness and graciousness in your life. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, I thank you for helping me get through the message. Lord, we thank you for your convicting work. Forgive me for too much grumbling and complaining where it's misplaced. Lord, I pray that you would help me to have a heart of thankfulness, knowing that in Christ I am forgiven, that in Christ I am redeemed, that in Christ all things work together for good, that in Christ I am chosen, in Christ I am justified, in Christ I am sanctified, in Christ I will be glorified, that you count me as your child, that I am forgiven, that I am holy, that I am loved. Lord, help us to know that you are the resurrection and life, that you'll work all things together for good. Lord, I pray that you would help me, that you'd help us all who are hearing this message, to be a thankful people. We've been saved by a Savior who loved us when we were at our worst, even when we were enemies, that you would die for us. We thank you and praise you, Jesus. In your mighty name we pray. Amen.